Hebrews chapter 10, please. Let's all stand. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. When I finished preaching through 1 Thessalonians, I decided to spend some time dealing with other subjects till whenever I get tired of doing that. This is a sermon that I prepared probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I think it's a subject that we need to discuss. I realize what might be a given for me might not be a given for everybody. So we're going to look at a simple subject this morning, the finished work of Christ. This is a very precious passage. This is about the gospel, obviously, but if you're a Christian, it also deals with you directly, because is your salvation an ongoing thing where maybe you have it, maybe you don't? It's a good question. So this will deal with assurance. It will deal with the gospel, all of the above. Verse 1, the author of Hebrews, of which who knows who it was, says this, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect," complete. It can never do the job. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered?" He asked a question, which is what? If those sacrifices did away with sin, why do they keep offering those sacrifices? "Because that the worshipers, once purged or cleansed, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." Verse 10, please. "By the which will we are sanctified," meaning we are set apart, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Or once for all, same concept. "And every priest," the important word if you're underlining or you're making mental notes is the next word, "standeth." Why? In the temple, there was no place for the priest to be seated because his work was never done. "So every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever," he did the exact opposite. He sat down on the right hand of God, "from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected, brought to completion forever them that are set apart unto him," by one offering. This morning we're going to deal with the finished work of Christ. I'm going to begin the sermon after we pray by talking about a visit, a phone call, and two of my prayer struggles. Maybe you never have prayer struggles. Maybe you're different than me. Do you ever get alone with God and have a conversation? I'm going to talk about a visit, a phone call, and two of my struggles. And then we're going to dive into the text, because this is, for a believer, very precious. When I conclude the sermon, we're going to sing a song together, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. I don't want any of you thinking the Lord's Supper is part of your salvation. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. It's not so pretty outside. It's a little overcast, but I'm thinking we didn't have a blizzard like DeWar did in Iowa, so we're okay. Above all of that, we're here. It's comfortable. We've sung some good music together. We've enjoyed fellowship one with another. We've got to pray together, and even now we get to pray together. And Lord, all of those things we're most grateful for, and now we've got to read the Scripture. And I would ask that you would open our hearts and minds. I'm not going to try to change the world this morning. I want to establish, or reestablish, really, an obvious teaching of Scripture, the finished work of Christ. Help me this morning to be able to convey these truths, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the statement, a mother's work is never done? Is that a true statement? Of course, I'm not trying to put women down in any in the least. With the exception of a few worthless individual males, a man's work is never done. So let's go back to the four issues. A visit, a phone call, and two experiences with the Lord. Several months back, and the phone call and the experience happened at the same time. Several months back, two or three, I don't know what day, Jenny and I went down to see those three handsome grandsons I have. Grandson number four, I'm hoping is handsome. And he'll be here soon. And of which you're going to be thankful. Are you going to be thankful or you're not sure? For many levels, except when he cries in the middle of the night. Okay. So we're going to have four handsome grandsons soon. But here's the point. Jenny and I went down to see, we go down to see John and Tiffany. We went down to see the grandsons. And I don't know what was going on, but we walked in the house and, well, they got a brand new baby. You know, he's 6 months or so now. He was probably 3 months at the time. You got Nathan, he's 6 years old. You got William, he's three. William and Nathan are on polar opposites. Nathan wants to be in your face, talking to you, you watching him 24/7. He wants attention. Yes? William, he can do without your attention. He can also do without your rules. So he decides to put something in a bag the last time I'm there, swing it, and slam it into their TV. Now, it's not a fancy one. John bought a cheap one. But he kindly demolished the TV. And all of this is, and by the way, here's Tiffany. She's cooking us a nice meal. The baby needs to be fed. Nathan needs attention. And William is breaking the TV. And it's all going on at the same time. And it just dawned on me, how in the world does she stay sane with these three boys? I love all three of them individually. Nathan, let me give you some attention. William, some attention. James, some attention. I love them, and then it's, Jenny, it's time to go. As we drove away, my thought was, a mother's work is never done. And then I thought, my grandmother had nine boys. That's suicidal. About the same day, it might have been the same night I came home, and I called Mrs. Edgington. Now, most of you don't know her. Gordon Edgington was a great guy in the state of Illinois, church planner, helped churches, helped this church, friend of mine. Both of them are friends of Jenny and I's. Gordon, I might be off a year on the ages, so don't hold me. I think Gordon was turning 92 years old. And they made it right up to the door of 71 years of marriage. That's not bad. Gordon was in the hospital. He was doing poorly. He died a week or two after I made that call. I called just to see how she was doing and how he was doing. And when I got on the phone call, by the way, she's also 91. She also cannot walk without a walker. Hey, she still has a house. She still has to cook. She still has to clean. Somebody has to take care of the property. And when I got done with that conversation, I was weeping. She didn't know it because I thought, oh, my goodness. Here's this lady that's been with Gordon. Being with Gordon Edgington 71 years is a miracle in and of itself. I mean, you're talking about good and evil. You're talking about sweet and sour. I mean, these two, wow. But you know what was, this lady had given her life, and when she was talking to me on the phone, she's telling me, because I know her, she says, Pastor Warren, I'm tired. And then I have two problems. One of them is in this church. I don't think she's here this morning. We had a lady in this church. Her name is Jan Thompson. I don't claim perfection for her or you, but Jan took care of her dad the last year to two of his life, meaning a man that had to be everything done for him, she did it for him until the day he died. Yes or no? We buried him on the weekend, and on Monday morning, Bruce had a massive stroke. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. Because for me, that's not fair. It's not fair that a woman takes care of dad for a year or two, and your husband has a stroke the following Monday of the kind that he cannot recover from. He can barely walk. His mind isn't what it used to be. Still Bruce, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't have most of it here. And I thought, and sometimes when I'm alone with the Lord, that'll come to my mind. And that's exactly, I don't know how you pray, but I talk to the Lord and think about Scripture and wrestle and think, that's not fair. The fourth thought is a little more personal. When my dad died, I remember standing at the funeral. He's in the casket. I'm always the guy that gets the dirty work at church and in the family because nobody else has. I don't know what it is. You know, I had to comfort mom because everybody else is falling apart. That's my job. So I'm standing by mom trying to give her some encouragement. And I still remember the time she looked at me and she said, "Do you think it would be all right if I kissed him?" For the last 5 years of his life, my mom had to take care of my dad almost like a baby. Cleaning up after him, the kind of things you do in the bathroom, from his chair to the bathroom. I'm going to say this to you. In this world, nothing's ever finished. Get used to it. Yes, I'm excited when I see Kika. You're going forward in life. And Russell, I hope you just zoom. I hope you have your mother and you leave your father behind, okay? But my friend, no matter where you are in life, nothing ever gets finished. There's something about this life. Now, we read this text. So what I want to do is I want to look at this text this morning. Maybe you don't have those conversations. Forgive me if you don't. I do. I want us to look back at chapter 10 and verse 1. Would you please? Chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law having a shadow. What is a shadow? There's some reality, but the law, meaning the era of the law, the Old Testament era, was a shadow of good things to come, Christ. And not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto complete, perfect. So the author of this passage, ultimately the Holy Spirit, is saying, no matter how you look at it, number one, this is the first idea, the work of the Old Testament priest was never done. He lived in the shadow land. He offered sacrifices that pointed to something good, but they were just a shadow of that good. And every time, can you imagine? See, our problem is we can't get through our head what this means. Because the average person in this room has never butchered much. Have you butchered a hog? Have you butchered a calf? Raise your hand. Some folks have. A handful of us have. Hey, listen. I butchered on the farm calves and hogs every year. Can you imagine every day of your life, what is your job? You're basically butchering animals and sacrificing them. And it's never finished because these things are a shadow of what's going to be happening in the future. So here's a priest. His entire existence was never, ever finished. When he finally got old, and I think priests varied in different what they did in different functions. Some of them was 30 to 50. But let's just pretend he got to an age where he had to walk like this. The last day he offered sacrifices, he knew something. The next guy in line is going to take right where I left off because this work is never finished. It just points to something in the future. Look, if you would, chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The work of an Old Testament priest was never done. By the time of the New Testament, some elements of the work of a priesthood had changed. The Romans now appointed the high priest. And I don't want to bore you, but by this period of time, the Romans were in charge of the temple, which is part of the reason there was a place called Qumran. They didn't like this, and they rebelled against the priesthood in Jerusalem because the family of Annas, which had a son-in-law named Caiaphas, which had seven sons who became priests also, it was all run by a family who Rome had appointed. And they were all double-dealing people into power and money. That's all they were. They were Roman stooges. But in some ways, the work went on the same. Turn your Bibles to Luke, would you please? Luke chapter 1. No matter how much things had changed from what originally God ordained, the basic ideas were the work of an Old Testament priest was never finished. There was first of all, what we call the daily work. The daily work. Luke chapter 1, real quickly, chapter 1 and verse 5. I just want you to get a flavor because we have it in the New Testament also. It says, this was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, which, by the way, should be Zechariah, of course. Zacharias is the Greek ending. Zechariah of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and in ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. That means they were old geezers. Verse 8, and it came to pass, and I don't want to talk about John the Baptist, I want to get you the priest part. While he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course. Y'all get that? Hey, look at me, friend. From way in the Old Testament, in Moses' time all the way through, with some interruptions, priests kept doing the same thing over and over. Ladies, let me ask you, did you have to think about what you're going to do when you leave here this morning? You have to do what? Somebody has to do what? Some of you aren't sure. Or does your meals just appear? By the way, I cook regularly. McDonald's, Burger King. Now let's continue reading. By the way, when it talks about the course of Abiah, which meant this, in that day there were enough priests, they had certain regimes. You were in this group, and they had different groups. And those groups would revolve through the period of time. So these weren't the high priests, these were the lower priests that did the daily work. Look at verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to do what? Burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without, at what? The time of incense. So in Jesus' day, when he was born, this is talking about John the Baptist's father, he was a priest. And a priest had to offer incense. And it went on every day. They had to keep the menorah burning. Because at this time, they had a large, huge court of the Gentiles, where Gentiles and women could come. Then they had a court of the Jews. And by the way, in between there, they had a barriers. They've actually found two of these signs written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, warning Gentiles not to come in on threat of death. So a Gentile could come to the outer court, then you could come in the inside if you were a male, and then they had the holy place. That's where John the Baptist's father would have come. They would burn incense. They would offer sacrifices of the daily variety. But the work was never finished. They just kept doing it and doing it. By Jesus' day, this had been going on, look at me, 1,400 years. Did you hear that? 1,400 years. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. The worst thing is to get emotional in the pulpit. And everything runs. Your eyes run and other things. All right. Exodus 29, verse 38. I want you to get a little bit of thinking about what this means. Exodus 29 and verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Exodus 29, 38. Everybody there? Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Verse 39. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer when? Look at me, friend. The work of an Old Testament priest was never finished. This isn't all the offerings. This isn't even most of the offerings. But would you believe that John the Baptist or someone like his father, not him, but Zechariah, they had part of their job was going in and offering incense and keeping the menorah going, that sort of thing. They would also offer animals, and they had a job that every morning they offered a certain animal, a lamb, and every night they offered a lamb. Now, that's not a problem. You think, oh, lambs. Please look at me. Have you butchered a lamb? Do you know what this means? Some of you think chicken comes in chicken nugget form at McDonald's. Well, I'm going to read something that I wrote. If you offered a lamb, look at me, morning and night, how many is that in 1 week? 14. In 1 year, that's 730 lambs that you have offered. That's only one small sacrifice, morning and night. Hey, this has nothing to do with what people bring extra. This isn't Thanksgiving offerings. This isn't sin offerings. This is one offering. They had to offer a lamb morning and night. In 1 year, they have offered 730 lambs. Is your math good? Mine is not, but I used a calculator. That means in a decade, just this one offering, they have offered 7,300 lambs. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about where the blood went? Where the bones went? Do you know if you did 730 lambs, where do you put them? Right out beside the building? Where do the bones go? In a century, that was 73,000 lambs for one offering. Are you ready? From Moses' day to Jesus' day, rounding numbers, for 1,400 years or so, there were some gaps. They had offered, just in one offering, morning and night, 1,022,000 lambs. My friend, if I took 1,022,000 lambs and stacked the bones, they would be stacked over this entire property. The work of an Old Testament priest was never done. They kept doing it, and this is just one. They kept doing it over and over and over and over. And yet there are people that think the priest in a Roman Catholic church offers the bloodless sacrifice of Jesus over and over, and somehow that saves you. We're back to the Old Testament priest because the Old Testament priest knew something. As a young man, can you imagine as a young man when you finally had your opportunity, you began with such enthusiasm. By the time you got to the end of your age to be a priest, you'd probably had enough of killing lambs and other things. My guess. Never finished. Then, of course, there's Passover lambs, yes? Then there's the Day of Atonement. Remember? The two goats. The slain goat and the scapegoat that they sent away. And it goes on and on and on. I want to tell you something. The temple was a bloody mess. You hear people that say, I don't like to hear about the blood. What kind of Bible are you reading? When the Bible talks about the blood of Christ, for 1,400 years, actually before that, back to the beginning, but in the temple setting for 1,400 years, they had been pointing forward to something different, but they had been over and over killing animals. They had killed animals the daily, two a day, over 1 million in that period of time. I don't know how many other kind of sacrifices. You read the special, they had special celebrations where they killed thousands of animals. Oh my goodness, the work of the high priest was never done, ever. Hebrews 10, let's look back there, please. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. The work of an Old Testament priest was never done. Now, friend, I'm going to say something different that might slide right past your mind that's more important than that. Are you ready? Look at me, please. The work of an Old Testament priest was never intended to be done. I'll say it again. The work of an Old Testament priest was never intended to be done. Why? Because it was always a picture pointing forward to the finished work of Christ. So when that guy started, can you imagine? You're from the tribe of Levi, you're in the order, you get your opportunity, and you're going to work your whole lifetime knowing at the end of your lifetime you have butchered thousands of animals, countless amount of blood, countless amount of body parts, and at the end of this, you have accomplished, well, you've accomplished one thing. You have pointed the people forward. And you've told the people what else? Well, let's read. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered if these sacrifices worked? Because the worshipers, once purged, once cleansed, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. You see, they did accomplish something. It didn't take away the sins, but it reminded the people that these animals didn't do the job. These animals were a shadow of that which was to come. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 11, and every priest, again standing because his work is never finished, daily, he does it every single day, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. My friend, the work of an Old Testament priest was never done. Please look at me. The work of an Old Testament priest was never intended to be done. It actually had the opposite purpose. As the priest took up his role, I'm not talking about the high priest. I'm talking about the normal priest that worked in the temple. High priest had a different function. He's the one that went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. One time a year. Was his work ever done? No. But when he started this work, and when he finally, in old age, finished his ministry, he had never done anything that took away sins. Because his work was never intended to do that. It was intended to point forward. To point forward to something else. To use by symbolism of death and the symbolism of dying in someone else's place, the symbolism of giving one's life for someone else. They were shadows of the good things to come, but they weren't the substance. So that priest, every time he did that, showed all the people what God is going to do is not yet here. This is pointing forward to that. I have to keep doing this, keep doing this, keep doing this. I can never just sit down and relax because my work is never finished. John chapter 1. Do you want to look at that with me? John chapter 1, would you please? Verse 29. John chapter 1. My friend, can you imagine? I want to say this to you. In life, is anything ever finished? Tim Duran, do you build things? What is the main job you have really right now? You ever thought about what you do? What you really do is repair things. You maintain things that were already fixed. Why? Because your work is never done. By the way, whose work is done? Do you realize if the Lord tarries, someday this old guy's going to die? Some of you are hoping soon. When would that be? Maybe before lunch. And I'm being funny, but I'm not. Someone will replace me because what I do is never done. There's only two things that will ever be done. One is what Christ did on the cross, and one will happen in the future. Everything in between, folks, we're working. We're moving. But let me say this. John the Baptist, you remember John the Baptist? You know his dad was Zechariah? John the Baptist saw Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 29. This is the first time he ever, as far as we know, laid eyes on Jesus. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, you get this next word? The Lamb of God. Hey, my dad has been offering those lambs. Hey, my dad has been burning that incense. This is not a lamb, this is the lamb. And what does this lamb do? Takes away the sins of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, John the Baptist says, after me cometh a man which is preferred above before me, for he was before me. Verse 35, same chapter. Again the next day. After John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Don't be confused. Please look at me. Don't be confused. When you read the Bible and you read the Old Testament and you hear about these sacrifices, every single priest, when he started to be a priest, and I'm not talking about the high priest, the normal guys, they knew something. I'm going to spend a lifetime offering sacrifices. Again and again and again and again. That doesn't take away sin. If it did, we'd stop the sacrifices. They knew the work of an Old Testament priest was never done. But hear me, it was never intended to be done. It was intended to remind us that something in the future, that this was the shadow of that which was to come, that one day the Lamb of God would come and take away the sins of the world. It was through him that we find salvation. Don't be confused. The work of the Old Testament priest was never done. It was never intended to be done. It was actually intended to be the opposite. I want you to look back at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says, the law having a, what's the next phrase in King James? A what? A shadow. You know what a shadow is? I saw this on Facebook. Sam, where'd Sam go? I don't know if I sent this to you. I don't even know if I can still find it. I know I sent it to my wife and a few other people. I saw the funniest Facebook video of a guy from India. I don't know if it was in India or if it was on Devon Street. But there was a guy, looked like he was 50s, and he was out in the front of his shop, which was glass, and the door was glass, and he was polishing the doors. Did any of you see this funny video? He's cleaning the window. Here comes along some little guy, you know, Indian guy, about half asleep, looking at his cell phone. So as the guy's looking at his cell phone, this guy's just cleaning the door, and as the guy comes up, the person that owned the shop stepped aside, and the guy, looking at his phone, reached for the glass. There was a problem. There was no door there. The guy was pulling off a joke. It was a shadow. And the poor young Indian guy, looking at his phone, does this, and falls and stumbles and goes, and the other guy is what? Laughing his head off. I love the video. Some of you have seen that video. It was classic. Hey, look at me. If you believe that a sacrifice can take away sin, look at me. You're leaning on a shadow. Those sacrifices are just shadows. They were never meant to take away sins. They were never meant to help us. They were meant to remind us of our sin. They were meant to remind us of this concept of a substitutionary sacrifice. They were meant to remind us of the necessity of giving life for sin. And they were a point forward to whom? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. They were pointing forward. So, look at me this morning. I hope you're not one of those people. I'm not going to duplicate it because I'd fall right on my head. He was younger than me. He didn't completely crash. Oh, my goodness. Don't be confused, my friend. It's just a shadow. The sacrifices were just shadows. The shadows can never finalize salvation. If they could finalize salvation, the sacrifices would cease. They would stop. There would be no more conscience of sin. But instead, these sacrifices keep bringing up the problem of sin. They keep bringing to our conscience the problem of our sinfulness. These sacrifices keep talking about and pointing to, as a shadow does to the reality. They keep pointing to, one day somebody is going to come. There's going to be one final sacrifice. And John the Baptist saw him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Number three. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 10, please. Would you with me? There's a few words that are just theological words. They're hard to translate. I'll try to give you the big idea of this, which is my goal. So look at me, everybody, before we look there. We got the first two ideas. The work of the Old Testament high priest was never what? Never done. Number two, it was never intended to be done. So it's not like they messed up. It was never intended to be finished. It was always meant to be a shadow of the reality, to be a picture of the final thing, to be a type, to show us sacrificing of life, shedding of blood, a substitutionary concept. Behold the Lamb of God. Number three, Jesus, our high priest, his work is finished. And I'm going to say this to you all, mothers, God bless you. God bless you. Many of the ladies in this room work too hard. You got to work jobs. You got to take care of your husband because he's an infant. Amen. Ladies, your work is never going to be done. Men, if you get frustrated, Tim, I always think of you because you're an expert at what you do, but no matter how good you are, no matter what you build, how you build it, in time, it's going to have to need repaired. Because nothing is ever finished except Jesus Christ, our high priest. His work is finished. It was done. It is done. It shall ever be done. It needs nothing else. Verse 10, please. Hebrews 10. By his will, we are sanctified. We are set apart is the idea. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's that phrase? Once for all. My friend, you don't have to worry about getting this eight times. This isn't, I go to Jesus this week and I pray a prayer next week. No. What Christ did on the cross was once for all. Verse 11, he says, every priest, meaning the Old Testament priest, standeth, he's standing up, because there's no, folks, sometimes when you, my wife can work all day and all night, but I can't. So when I come home, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to sit down. Yes or no? Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, I need to take a nap. You say, why do you need a nap? I'm an old man. But you know what? Your work is never finished. That high priest didn't have the normal priest didn't have any place to sit because they had more to do. It was just always working until the day they were done with their ministry. They had to work. Well, let's keep reading. He standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes what? Hey, it was pretty neat to offer that daily sacrifice for the first week. What about the 10th year? Answer the question. What about the 10th year? I think you're tired of blood coming all over your hands and gutting an animal. He keeps doing the same thing. And it says, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One sacrifice for sins forever. What did he do? The thing that they could never do in the temple. He sat down, specifically at the right hand of the Father. Of course, this is second coming, verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart unto him. Mike Rock, there's a few things I don't like about Mike, I have to be honest. I don't like anybody that has hair that looks that good. Can I have an amen? Why would a guy, how old, you're 70, what? I know what you'll be because you're 10 years older than me. Is it fair that anybody has hair like that at 72? I don't think so. One time after a service, Mike Rock quoted something to me. I don't know who invented it. I know there was a pastor in Chicago that specialized in preaching it. His name was H.A. Ironside, pastor of Moody Church, way back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, when it was at its peak. Ironside always used to say there's only two kinds of religion. Do and do and do and do, or done. Hey, there's either the religion where you keep going after it, or has Christ paid it all once and for all and forever? And the answer is, it's this one. I've talked to Dada about this probably more than anybody. When I went to the Philippines this last time, I wanted to go to the island of Leyte because I wanted to go where my great uncle was killed, near Ormoc. Cliffy, you been there, or Judah, you've been there? You've been there, 1944, December 10th. I wanted to visit the area. By the way, I don't know where he got killed at. I don't know anything about it. I just know he was killed there. So I went there, got some people to take me there, took a picture of the sign. That's as close as I could get. I also wanted to see the place where General MacArthur came ashore. And maybe that's not important to you, but it's important to me. When I found out I was going there, some people from Missouri area told me they were going there for their mother. The man, Dennis is his name, good guy, love Dennis. Dennis is a good Roman Catholic. This is not anger, this is facts. He texted me and said, I would like you to come if you can come. And it was just, the stars aligned. I had exactly one evening. He said, I'd like you to come. I'm going to be in the Philippines with my wife, and her family lives there, or some of them, and we're going to do my mother died 50 years ago. 50 years. And we want to do, like, have a meal, and they're going to bring a priest. Now, I'd never been at one of these. You understand? I have no hatred of Catholics because I have no personal feelings. The only time I'm ever around Roman Catholics is at funerals. Tim, your dad's, and a few like that. Your dad's was the best one I've ever been at of a bad one. It was. Here's a lady, would you listen to me, had died 50 years before. The priest got up, and I'm a simple guy. I skip all of the stuff that would offend you. I don't care about the smoke. I don't care about the incense. I don't care about the water. I don't care about the robes. I don't care about all the weird things they do. There's only one thing that interests me, what he said. And in 15 times in his little five-minute sermon, he kept saying, we're praying to God that you receive this woman into heaven. The difference between biblical Christianity and all other forms is the finished work of Christ. This isn't something you get future. You get it right now, right here. By the way, it made me hurt for the people there. I talked to one girl the whole time I was there. Girl, woman, I don't know. I didn't know her. Where I was seated, she was probably in her 20s. She was dressed weird, but she found out I was a Baptist pastor. She wanted to know about Baptist. So I gave her the name of two Baptist churches right there in town in Tacloban. I know the pastor at one of them. I talked to this girl, and guess what I was talking to her about during the meal? The finished work of Christ. John chapter 19, please. I wrote down exactly the language that I heard, so I do not want to misconstrue anything. Because some of you came from Roman Catholic backgrounds. These are the three phrases that I heard over and over. We pray that she is accepted into heaven. We pray that she's welcomed into heaven. We pray that she's received into heaven. Does that sound fair? That's exactly what I heard because I wrote it down. Look at me, friend, because in that religion, nothing is ever finished, because the way you're saved is by what you do and the church does and a little bit of Jesus. Well, I want you to be introduced to a doctrine today. It's a Greek word, hapax, which means once. Sometimes it's the strengthened form, ep hapax. but it either has this idea, once or once and for all. John 19, verse 30. On the cross, Jesus says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, tetelestai, it is. When you go home and make a meal today, ladies, let me ask you a question. The moment you make the meal, what's the next step? Somebody's got to do the dishes. Nothing's ever finished. Yes, there is. The Old Testament priest work was never done. It was never intended to be done. But our high priest, his work is finished. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's look there, please. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he, meaning Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him through Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice. You know, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did, what's that word? Once, epox, once and for all, when he offered up himself. Chapter 9, verse 12, please. Chapter 9, verse 12. The author says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once, epopox, the stronger form even, once and for all, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Chapter 9, verse 25, please. 9, verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. By the way, there is nothing about Christianity where Jesus is offered again and again and again. He did this one time. It's finished. One time. Hebrews 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, or the end of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men, what? Same word. Once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 10 and verse 10, please. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, we are set apart unto God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Everyone look at me. 1 Peter 3:18. You don't have to look at it. For Christ has once, look at me, for Christ has once suffered for sins. Jesus doesn't continually be offered. We're going to partake of communion. Look at me, friend. This is not us re-offering Jesus in a bloodless way. Jesus was once offered for sins, the just man for the unjust, that's us. For what purpose? That he, through his death and being once offered, might bring us to God. We believe that the work of Christ is finished. It's done. Once and for all and forever. Take your hymn books. Pastor Kowak, Mrs. Warren, Tom, if you want to come. While the children are coming up, we're going to sing.